Well, good morning and welcome. It's great to have you with us again this morning. Thank you for joining us. It's great to be able to share this time together as we see what God is wanting to say to us and where he's wanting to lead us as a church in the weeks and months ahead as we start off today. Last week, we introduced the new series on practicing the practices of Jesus. That sense of as we follow Jesus and as we seek to be like him, we do what he did. But also recognizing that we need to know more than just what did Jesus do, but to understand why he did that, to understand the reason and the purpose behind the things that we do as we seek to be like him. Now, we remember last week we looked at the whole fact that the things we do flow out of who we are in him, that it's from our relationship with him, not for our relationship with him, that we do the things that we do, that we seek to emulate him, that we seek to be people who follow Jesus. So this morning we want to unpack that a little bit further, take the next step in that in order to determine what it is that we need to be doing and how we need to learn to be like Jesus. So the first aspect of that this morning is looking at the foundational practice of worship. Now, as I've stopped and thought about this over the last week or so, it seems to me that everything we do, all of the different practices, all of the different things that we seek to include in our lives in order to follow Jesus and to be like him, are encapsulated into this idea of worship, that everything we do is for the glory of God. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31. Now, it's in the context of dealing with some issues around idolatry and how we should respond to that, those sorts of things. But Paul says at the end of that chapter, in chapter 10, verse 31, "So whatever you do, whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God." That everything we do, every aspect of our lives ultimately ends up being an act of worship, or has the potential to be an act of worship as we engage with God. But we need to answer the question straight up, I guess. What is worship? I reckon if you asked 10 Christians what worship was, you'd probably get about 11 different answers, or maybe more. It's a pretty wide and varied understanding of what worship is. For some people, worship is all about singing and music and raising hands and praising God in that way. For others, it might be more to do with getting involved in the religious practices that we have, for example, baptism or gathering around the Lord's table in communion. For others, it might be the aspect of prayer and coming into a quiet space and just reflecting on who God is and spending time with him in that sense. I think if we're looking for a right answer, which I'm not sure we're going to get, but the answer is yes, this and everything else. As Paul says, everything we do for the glory of God. You see, there's a sense also in that worship is kind of action-reaction, that as God acts and as God moves, then we react to that and that elicits a reaction in us. I guess more accurately, we would refer to that as being revelation and response. That God reveals something to us of himself, of his nature, of his character, of who he is. And then we are moved in response to that revelation in some way. So God reveals and then we respond. And God reveals to us in so many ways. For example, he reveals his love and his mercy to us through the gospel. As we understand the sacrifice of Jesus and all that he's done for us on the cross. Or maybe we get that sense that God speaks to us directly through a passage of scripture, that it relates directly into an experience or a situation that we're having in our lives. We sense him speaking to us in that. Maybe we sense, and God reveals himself to us in the sense of his presence as we work with those who are poor or marginalized. As we engage in our community, we sense the presence of God revealing himself to us in that. Maybe it's about seeing the grandeur of creation and being in awe and wonder of God as you look out over a view of mountains or the ocean, the sunset, Apparently it happens at sunrise too, but I'm never up that early to know, so I'm going with sunsets. But as we realise God's blessings to us, we respond to that. That response is drawn out of us as we come to see the realisation and the revelation of who God is for us in all of these different ways. So whether that response is in praise and singing and raising of hands in worship that way, or whether it's in the quiet reflection and prayer, maybe it's in realizing that there needs to be a drastic overhaul of our of how we live our lives that is drawn and elicited from us as we understand that revelation of God. Whatever it is, the appropriate response of our heart to the revelation of God is worship. And so that's how we're going to seek to define worship as we explore this topic over the coming weeks. So that's what is worship. But I guess there's a second question that we need to ask too. And that is the question is, well, what do we worship? Who do we worship? Because see, worship has this sense of bowing down to something, of giving worth and value to something. So worship kind of comes from that word worth-ship. And so what is it that we consider of worth? What is it that we consider of value? What is it that we wish to submit ourselves to or to bow down, to give priority to? Worship has this aspect of submission within it. So then I need to ask the question, what is it that we bow down to? Do we bow down to ourselves? That sense of responding to our own feelings and our own desires, our own pleasures. You know, that whole if it feels good, let's do it kind of thinking. That what becomes the priority, what becomes the motivating and driving force in our lives is about our own feelings and our own sense of well-being and our own sense of pleasure. Maybe we bow down to popularity, that we seek to please the people around us. We're seeking the approval of those people who are around us. And so the thing that drives us, the thing that motivates us, the thing to which we submit our actions and our attitudes is whether or not this is going to make me acceptable to the people around me. Am I going to fit in? Maybe it's about fitting into our culture and idolizing that. And so it becomes a point where nationalism and patriotism becomes something that we strive for and we seek to submit it to. So the governing thing in our lives becomes how it fits into our culture and our national identity. But God calls us to worship Him, to submit to Him, to declare our allegiance to Him. In Exodus chapter 20, when we read through and we see the Ten Commandments listed for us, it's interesting that we note the first thing that God tells us in that passage is where our allegiance should be. Exodus chapter 20, verse 1. The Lord spoke all these words. He says, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above or on earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sins of the parents to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. See, the very first thing God calls us to in the Ten Commandments is that we should have no other gods but Him. Our allegiance needs to be to Him. So to answer the question, to what do we bow down and worship, the answer should be to God alone. Jesus summarized that in Matthew 22 and verse 37 and 38. When he was asked, what's the greatest commandment? Out of the 10 that are listed here, what's the greatest commandment? Jesus' response was, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind and all your strength. That's the greatest commandment, to love God. But what does it mean to love God like that? Well, in Romans chapter 12, Paul gives us an indication as to what that is about. Romans chapter 12, verse 1, Paul says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing and perfect will." Paul is giving us a clue here as to what it means to love God completely. J.B. Phillips, in his translation of the scriptures, says it this way. He says, "With eyes wide open to the mercies of God, I beg you, my brothers, as an act of intelligent worship, to give your bodies as a living sacrifice, consecrated and acceptable by him. Don't let the world around you squeeze you into its mold, but let God remold your minds from within so that you may prove in practice what the plan of God is for you. It is good. It meets all his demands and moves towards the goal of true maturity." You see, what Paul is getting at in this passage is that true worship is about submission and surrender. Now, they're not words that we like to hear. They're not words that we really want to engage in a lot of ways. We're taught, don't submit, don't surrender, don't give up, don't. But Paul is calling us to be people who willingly lay down our lives as a sacrifice for God, but not as a dead sacrifice, but as a living sacrifice, a sacrifice that is useful, that is available for God to be using as part of his purposes and plans. Paul says, in view of God's mercy, in response to the revelation of God and his mercy in Christ, then our response to his love, to his grace, to his forgiveness is to surrender our will, our minds, our bodies to him, to be used by him in whatever way he chooses, to present our bodies as living sacrifices. Paul says, this is your responsible, this is your proper, this is your intelligent act of worship. It's thought through. It's intentional. It's deliberate that we, in response to the revelation of God, present ourselves to him for him to use as he wishes, as he sees fit. We do this not by conforming to this world's priorities, but by being transformed. So we don't submit ourselves to what this world considers to be important, to this world's priorities, to this world's standards. We don't bow to the false gods of this world, the seeking of pleasure or the popularity or the chasing after possessions and money. But we allow God to transform us. Again, it's an act of worship. It's a response to all he has revealed to us of himself, to transform our lives by the renewing of our minds, to see things, to understand and to be able to identify things differently because we've engaged with God in that way. You see, what God's calling for is really a bacon and eggs thing. I know I've said this before, but when you consider a bacon and eggs breakfast, the chicken has made a token contribution in providing the egg, but the pig has made total commitment to that breakfast by sacrificing himself in order to create the bacon. You see, God's calling us to be pigs, to be bacon. It's all or nothing. It's a complete surrender to him. It's complete sacrifice to him. It's about us giving ourselves completely, whole of life, all we do, every single part of us, to him. As Paul says back in 1 Corinthians 10:31, in everything you do, do it all to the glory of God. Whatever you do, do it to the glory of God, that it would be a response to him for the revelation that he has made of himself to us in Christ. That submission to God then is both an internal and an external process. There's an inward focus on that and there's an outward focus on that as well. And so today we want to just focus and see that vertical aspect of what it means to worship God, to surrender to him, to give ourselves as living sacrifices. Because it's about our own personal relationship with God. It's about us connecting with him in a way that is meaningful for us, in a way that grows us, in a way that develops us, a way that matures us and brings us to that point where we are more and more and more like Jesus as we follow him. It's about reflecting and affecting us personally in our relationship with God. But it also has that outward expression in the way we relate to others as well. To use a couple of phrases that we've thrown around over recent weeks and months within the life of our church, there's the Imago Dei, the image of God, and the Missio Dei, the mission of God. You see, our worship, our submission to God, our engaging with him, our response to his revelation involves both the Imago Dei and the Missio Dei. It transforms us into the image of God. We become more and more like him as we engage with him. That's a personal thing. That's me and God in relationship together and me being transformed into his likeness, into his image. But what that does then is change the way I reflect into the community around me, the Missio Dei, the mission of God, that as God changes me, I am changed in the way I relate and I'm driven to proclaim him to the people around me, to engage in community in a way that reflects his character, his nature, to live our questionable and intriguing lives, to demonstrate his love into our community with the people around me every day. That in everything we do, in everything I do to the glory of God, for his value, for his purpose, as an act of worship to him. So this worship with God is an individual thing, but it's also something that is an outward expression in the way that I live my life. You see, as God transforms us, as our minds are renewed, as we begin to align ourselves, become more and more like him, as we engage in that relationship with him in worship, then our priorities change. You see, our worship represents our priorities. Because if we're not worshiping God, we're worshiping something else. So our bank balance becomes a statement of our worship. Our time, our resources and our possessions, our gifts and our abilities, all of these things become an expression of our worship. Are we worshiping God with these things and allowing him to use them? Have we presented them to him as something that, as resources that he can use as he uses us for his glory? Or are they the things that we end up worshiping in place of God? So how we use these things reflects the extent to which we've presented ourselves to God as living sacrifices. To follow Jesus, to practice the practices that he did, to do what he did, is also to understand the why. And this requires us to be in a place of worship, in a place of surrender, to be able to love God, heart, mind, soul, and strength. All of us. And this is both inward and outward for his glory. So what are you worshiping today? Have you come to that point where you're worshiping God with all you are? That in light of his mercy, in response to his revelation of who he is in Christ, you've responded to him by presenting your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to him, your intelligent, proper, reasonable act of worship. Committing yourself to him, to love him heart, soul, mind, and strength, so that we're available to be used by him, to be changed by him, to reflect his image, the Imago Dei, the image of God, and then to work with him in the mission of God, the Missio Dei, into our community, both internally and externally, with an inward focus and an outward focus, that God might be glorified in all we do, as Paul encourages us to be. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the encouragement it is that we respond to you in worship. Father, thank you for all that you have revealed to us through the creation and your general revelation to us in that way, but also your specific revelation to us through your word. Father, thank you that as we've understood that, where our hearts are drawn to worship you, to respond to you, and to respond to the revelation and the understanding we have of you in that. Lord, as we do that this morning, we pray that you would prompt us and challenge us and cause us to come to that point in our lives where we submit ourselves as living sacrifices to you. In that intelligent, reasonable, proper act of worship. That, Father, we would allow you to transform us by the renewing of our minds, that we might be people who reflect you. That as we engage with you in worship, in relationship, that you would change us into the image of God, that we would reflect you more and more, be more like Jesus. And Lord, from that, you would help us to engage with you in the mission of God into our community, that others might learn of your love as we live those questionable and intriguing lives. Father, we pray that we would do all of this for your glory and for your honor. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thanks again for joining with us. We really appreciate your support and your encouragement. Can I get you to click the subscribe button and hit the bell icon so you're notified of any new videos that we put up? But in the meantime, we trust you're being blessed as you share with us in this way. May you have a great week. God bless you.